Airline passengers get new rights April 29th. Or will they really? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest again today is Kate Hanai, who is the director, founder of FlyersRights.org. Last week when Kate was on the program, we talked about the FAA reauthorization bills that are working their way through Congress, through the sausage factory, and how when they come out the other end, they're expected to result in a bill that makes it through reconciliation and has an airline passenger's bill of rights attached to it. But while that's going on, the DOT a few weeks ago already passed rulemaking, which instituted a three-hour rule for tarmac strandings and also included some pretty hefty fines. $27,000 plus per passenger is the maximum if airlines violate the rule. Already, several airlines have asked the DOT for waivers of this, and we want to talk to Kate about the status of those requests and what's going on here. Kate, thanks for being back with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. So basically, the DOT has asked the public and all of the consumer groups to comment on all of the airlines' requests for an extension or an exemption of the three-hour rule at the East Coast airports. And we are fighting vociferously to have the DOT understand that they cannot allow the airlines to have these extensions, because if they do, it's akin to saying, yes, you can hold airline passengers indefinitely. And if they allow one airline to do it because there's a runway construction going on, then every airline is going to be making these requests until kingdom come, because they're going to say, look, every time there's a runway under construction or anything going on in an airport, that they should be exempted from the rule. And the truth is they simply need to adjust their schedules and limit the number of flights that are coming in and going out so that these tarmac strandings don't happen. And the DOT knows that.
All right. Now, the specific one that I think started it all off, or at least the first one I saw a headline on, was regarding U.S. Airways and JetBlue at JFK. JFK has a runway. The Bay runway is going to go under reconstruction this fall. And I think wisely they chose to try to get it all done in one closure without stretching it out over a period of years. And the result is going to be that they lose some significant portion of their capacity for a few months, and that has prompted U.S. Airways and JetBlue, apparently at JFK, to say to the FAA, well, you know, this is going to result in, we already have delays that may be pushing the limit under this new rule, just under normal circumstances and thunderstorms. We need, you know, to have waivers that let us not have to live up to this standard during this construction, because the implication is because we're going to hold people for longer than 3 hours, and we already know it now.
Yes, but they already hold people every day, even with all the runways open for over 3 hours. So they have had no will to adjust their schedules regardless. So, you know, yes, there will be an impact on the airlines. No question about it. There would be anyway. But that's no excuse for holding people on the tarmac indefinitely. And without the rule in place, with them getting an exception, that's what they'll do.
Well, now, once this was proposed, it kind of blossomed. Even before the DOT answered yes or no to this initial request, Delta and American Airlines piled on at JFK. U.S. Airways added their hub in Philadelphia to the request on the excuse that it's on the same air traffic control system. And Continental wants a similar thing to happen at Newark now. Where does this all stand, and are you getting any kind of feedback on whether the DOT is inclined to grant these waivers?
Well, up till a couple days ago, I thought the DOT would not be inclined to give the airlines what they're asking for. However, when I got the notification of the docket posting for the OST asking the public to comment, there were four scenarios that they gave as likely scenarios or that they wanted people to comment on, and they didn't limit it to that. You can comment any way you want. We're simply going to say absolutely not. And we are enrolling all of the national consumer groups and anyone we can get, including congressmen and senators, to argue with them about this and post docket postings. But that said, there was a little bit of an indication in the way that they worded the docket that they might allow something. We don't know what, but they might allow something. We hope not. We believe that they won't, because they made a rule and they already knew that these airports were going to have this construction going on when they passed the rule. So it would be a little bit ludicrous to go back on their word and say, oh yeah, by the way, okay, we're going to let you off the hook for this many months. Because really, the airlines already know that they have to draw down their schedules even under the best conditions, and they haven't done that. So I know that the DOT is pretty aggravated with them. The DOT has been working on the airlines now for 3 years, trying to get them to reduce their schedules, and they haven't. The airlines have simply laughed in their face.
I do want to talk about a quote that came out of DOT after U.S. Airways requested the delay of the new rule. And it came from Bill Moseley in DOT, who said, quote, carriers have it within their power to schedule their flights more realistically and to have spare aircraft and crews available to avoid cancellations, unquote. Now, to me, that sounded like, you know, hey, we made a rule. You've got months to plan for it. You've had years already to plan for it. Deal with it.
That's right.
That's not the feeling you're getting now. What are the four things that the DOT said they'd accept?
They didn't say they'd accept anything. They simply said that they wanted the public to comment on four possible options. And one of them was, the American Airlines request Delta and JetBlue at JFK specifically. Another one was Continental's request at Newark. Another one was U.S. Airways' request at Philadelphia. And then the fourth option was maybe they should limit the fines during those periods to some lower amount. So the fourth option was the best of the four that they presented, but then they also said, but we'll accept any feedback. We want to know what your feedback is. So I honestly think that the DOT is simply looking for feedback from the public, and anyone that has a thought about this ought to post a docket posting and let the DOT know how they feel.
Is there an easy way to access that process? How does somebody who flies off and maybe has never been involved in these things before, has no clue how to find a DOT docket? Is there a way to do that?
A real simple way. If they sign our petition at Flyers Rights, we send them a bulk email with what our comments are going to be as the head of the group and the link. So they all they have to do is click on the link and it will take them directly to the comments.
Okay.
And they can either pre-prepare a Word document and upload it, or they can type it in.
All right, www.flyersrights.org. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about exactly what happens on April 29th, because I think this is going to be an interesting summer. Kate Hanai is my guest. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. And we're going to talk for a moment about what's happening on April 29th, because it's been in the works for a long time. I know, Kate, you're pretty happy about it, flawed as it may be for now. But the Department of Transportation is scheduled to put into effect its rule that requires the airlines to get you back to the terminal after 3 hours of a tarmac stranding somehow.
Yes.
Tell us about this, what we can expect to see different at airports, and how will they actually accommodate this?
Well, what we should see, and what I expect to see, is that the airlines draw down their schedules early in the morning and late in the afternoon at many of the congested airports. So you'll have less flights in the early morning or later in the afternoon, but you'll also not see people sitting out on the tarmac for 3 to 5 hours every day. You'll see more flights in the middle of the day, so that they can fill in those undercapacity slots and even out the flights throughout the day so that they just don't get those choke points where they have people sitting out on the tarmac. That's really bottom line what you're going to see. The other thing you're going to see is that if you're on a diverted flight like my family was, where you're in the wrong city, they're going to have to take you to a gate and let you off after 3 hours. They're also going to have to provide you with food, water, hygienic toilets, temperature control, and clean trash receptacles and access to medications at any time you're on the tarmac. They're just going to have to, or they're going to get complaints from people, and that's when the airlines are going to get fined.
Now, these fines, what is the potential maximum, $27.5, something like that?
Yeah, the potential maximum is $27.5, but as the DOT has said, and we've been reiterating, they rarely impose fines of that amount. If an airline traps you for 9 hours like they did my family, then they deserve to get the maximum fine. Mm-hmm. And of course, we would encourage passengers to push for that. A lot of the fines, my guess is, are going to be based on passenger sentiment. So if you have a group of passengers that are very vocal, that are on a plane where they clearly are not offered the chance to get off and they're denied, you know, basic human needs while they're on a plane, then those passengers ought to have some video footage and photos, and they ought to go to the DOT and say, enough is enough. This was bad. We need you to act. And that's what I believe is going to happen.
Well, now there's no particular incentive, I don't think, for airline passengers to do that personally, because other than knowing they've caused some pain to the airline that did that to them, there's no personal compensation involved in that yet, is there?
There's not yet, but we are pushing for it. And the only way that we'll ever get it is if passengers do what I'm suggesting. Because unless the DOT and the airlines know just how upset passengers are about this, and that passengers are documenting it, and that they want the media to cover these issues, then you're right, it'll fade away and the passengers will never see a dime. But if they continue doing what they've been doing and fighting back and saying, look, you know, enough is enough, I'm going to document this situation, and I'm going to get this information to Kate Hannah or the news outlets so that people can see what's really going on these planes, that has public sentiment and awareness be at an all-time high, and that creates pressure on the DOT to have a portion of the fines go to the passengers. And I believe also Congress needs to hear from passengers that that's what they would like to see happen. There's a couple of congressmen right now working on bills that would give a portion of the fines to the passengers.
Let's talk about the loopholes, because there are a couple. The DOT has said airlines can be off the hook if it has to do with safety, security, or airport operations. Walk us through those. Those sounded to me, when I first heard about this rule, like those are the three excuses they already use.
Well, actually, the excuse that they use now is the weather, more frequently than anything. And because there's no law in place, they really don't even have to use an excuse. But so frequently, they'll say, well, there was bad weather, so we couldn't take the plane in. There were no people that could be on the ramp. There was lightning or all of those issues. We now know that there are many ways. There's a thing called safe dock. There's a way for them to get planes in without people on the ramp. So that issue isn't even covered in the DOT rule. The only issues in the DOT rule are security, safety, and disruption of airport operations. And we don't believe that the safety issue is going to get used, because there are no proven safety issues, and it's going to be very easily argued. TSA has already told us that they're not going to be disrupting a pilot needing to get passengers off from domestic flights, because there's really no TSA or Border Patrol intervention necessary on a domestic flight. But the one caveat that we have a concern about is disruption of airport operations. And the only reason we have an issue with it is that it's not defined.
Mm-hmm.
So it could end up being a blizzard-sized loophole if the FAA and the DOT don't define it. So we've been aggressively pursuing Randy Babbitt at the FAA, had a meeting with him about 6 weeks ago in the flesh, met with Ray LaHood and Secretary Ray LaHood of the DOT, and talked to him and his enforcement division about how this is going to work and what is the definition of disruption of airport operations. We so far don't have an answer, but they know that we're being very aggressive and pushing for it. So they did say that they were working on it. we hope that by April 29th, there's an announcement made about what that means.
Well, now, the phrase disruption of airport operations to me doesn't sound like something that's even within the airline's purview. That sounds like a call made by air traffic control or airport management.
It would be airport management, simply, and it would be the airport management communicating with the pilot directly through the station manager and the ramp tower manager saying, we don't have a gate.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's no common use gates, or we're not going to disrupt the flow of traffic to allow you in. It would be very unusual, I think, because airports are generally very supportive of the rule.
Okay. Well, yeah, it looks pretty bad for any airport when a lot of when those things happen at that airport.
Exactly. They hate it because, honestly, when a plane sits on the tarmac, what do you remember? You remember Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Austin. You remember JFK. A lot of the time you don't remember the airline. So I think, you know, people associate these bad events with the airport, unfortunately, even though the airlines are the ones predominantly causing this to happen.
Well, Kate, it's going to be fascinating to see what really happens when this rule kicks in, and I'm sure we will be talking to you again over the spring and the summer.
Well, I agree. It will be fascinating. I think it's going to be fun. Hopefully, the airlines don't retaliate against passengers, but that's our next conversation. And it will be fun over the summer. Let's keep in touch. I know that June 1st, there's going to be a big announcement by the DOT of another second passenger rulemaking. I think we've got a lot of great things on the horizon.
Kate Hanna is the founder of FlyersRights.org. Go to that URL to find resources for airline passengers and developing information on the topics we've discussed today. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.